And I'm pleased to be joined by Julie in the studio. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, James.
So thank you for joining us. And you're here today to talk about the project. So just tell us where it is, when it started, and what you do.
Okay, well, Cultivate for Life actually was derived by a kind of idea from one of the staff from Bishop Auckland Community Partnership, Nigel Pringle. He came up with the concept of maybe offering an allotment opportunity for people to engage with. It's run on a voluntary capacity, and then realising its need, they applied to Northern Rock Foundation to actually achieve 2 part-time paid workers. That was in 2008. I applied, not a gardener, and I'm still not a gardener. People, you know, do kind of are quite jokey about where's my Wellington boots.
Nice.
But it was the caring side, you know. I think being the oldest of 6, I don't know whether that's kind of got anything to do with it. But, you know, so I applied and I was successful. 3 years on, still there. And it's come on so well. Initially, we engaged with probation. But the hours, you know, weren't... they needed more hours, so we had to look at other ways of supporting the community. So Cultivate for Life actually offers a holistic working and study environment. And it has evolved, and at the moment, we predominantly work with Job Centre Plus, so they have clients that they refer to us. We equally have people from work programmes, you know, and youth programmes. So Princess Trust have used us for work experience opportunities, and we have self-referrals as well, and we've had people from Support Housing, you know, working very much with One Point Services. We offer something very different. I mean, we based at Woodhouse Close Allotments, and originally it was a single allotment. And since then, it's, you know, that size has doubled, and we have access to 4 other allotments as well. The project is run by myself, and then I have an allotment coordinator. I needed somebody. It was originally a support worker, and said, "Hang on here. You know, I can't take credit for what's going on in that garden." So my allotment coordinator is Keith Hall, and then we have 2 support workers, Tracy Douthwaite and Molly McGaskill. Equally have 3 volunteers as well. One is a cook, and we have Gemma Purdy, who's from Asda Community Champion, and we have a young girl who's actually just passed a degree as well. With the team, we are supporting our people. So we have young people and adults from all walks of life who are currently unemployed. And throughout the journey, you know, you realise and you actually appreciate what you've got, because these guys, you know, have had a raw deal. You know, if it's not one thing that they've had, then there's been a, you know, consequence of homelessness, and you think, hang on here. And, you know, and it's very humbling to be working with these guys, because they don't kind of put their, you know, experiences, you know, for self-pity. So, you know, you think, right, then, you know, this project is working for them. You know, I think what we offer is unique, and the fact is very holistic. It's in the allotments, so it's very much in a more natural environment. And I think to build up those foundations, maybe for people to rediscover or discover their abilities, is important. When you get that right, that they can move on, you know, to enhance CVs. And, you know, what we do as well, we actually provide a daily lunch utilising our produce as well. And that's kind of makes it more of like a family atmosphere, especially if you're living alone. I don't think it's much fun really eating by yourself. So we making sure that at least on a day-to-day basis, these guys have got, you know, a substantial meal provided by the project.
So what are the sort of activities on a day-to-day basis? Yeah. You mentioned learning. What are the sort of things that the users of the service, people that go to Cultivate for Life, what are the sort of things every day that they'll take away from that?
What they do, I mean, obviously we work on allotments, so predominantly it's kind of planting, you know, the things that come with allotment work. What they've done is they've actually built an office, because we had one shed that was multifunctional, and it kind of, right, okay, then we need some more space. So it's provide not only allotment work, but equally kind of, you know, your woodwork skills as well. well. And some of these guys have got those skills and they've been able to use them and to, you know, maybe to kind of lead a group then, and for our staff as well to learn from that. You know, just because we staff, you know, we don't think, oh, we know it all. I think it's nice then for people to lead that and maybe give them that self-esteem and self-confidence as well.
Yeah. We've been having a look at the Facebook page for Cultivate for Life. You can have a look. It's facebook.com/cultivate4andlife. And there are great pictures on there and lots of things going on. And one of the things you've got up there at the moment is about a funding appeal that you're running. Mm-hmm. And it's just tell us about that and the funding that you require for this mm-hmm. sort of project and the current appeal that you have.
All right, okay. Really at the moment, I don't know whether anyone has been reading like Bishop's Press, who we know we kind of got front page on there, and yesterday's Northern Echo. We are in a very, very critical position in financial status. It was going to be that, you know, at the end of October, that was it for us. Although I've got to say that my staff are very committed and they would be happy to continue as volunteering, but the same vein, you know, it's their livelihood as well. And we do as a team actually do give a lot of voluntary time. So I mean, we have applied for funding, you know, for funding, but unfortunately we've had one rejection after another, and it can be very deflating. And you've got to keep going. And we saw this appeal, I think it's through Durham Voice, and it just kept with me for local giving, grow a tenner appeal. And I thought, right, then this is could be, you know, instead of having to wait for, you know, decisions, at least this is instant. So we set up our own local giving account, and we've had an enormous and, you know, and very thankful response to that. Checking on this morning, and it's £1,461.25 in one-off donations, because with this local giving match fund up to £10. So if anyone wants to, we've actually still got £355 remaining of the one-off donations, because local giving are giving us an opportunity of up to £2,000 to be raised in one-off. And then we've got our direct debits, which we have got extensive amount of opportunity there. And again, up to £10 in direct debits, with the first three direct payments being match funded. But that's, you know, whilst there's still match funding available.
Sure.
Because I checked with local giving this morning, and again, you know, that funding has gone down rapidly. I think there's only £40,000 in the pot. Really today it's about appealing to businesses, you know, and to individuals, you know, if they're in a position where they could support us, you know, it'd be really appreciated to get through the next couple of months or 3 months, because, you know, I believe that this project has a place in the community. It's unique, and it's, you know, from people that have engaged, it proved it does work. Like many organisations such as ourselves, you know, we do not get any or very little financial support from organisations who we support, and I'm not, you know, kind of pulling these companies down. It's just the way it is. You know, the government haven't set it up that, you know, they have got that funding there, so it means that we have to try everything to do this. So if we could get people on board to help us. Now, I know some people won't be comfortable donating online. That's fair enough. I mean, we would welcome cash donations. We would welcome checks to be sent to us. And they can just either give me a call, and I'll give my number out at the end of the interview. Additionally, they can email me as well. So we're appealing to businesses, because if we can get through this very difficult time, we want to enhance our projects, you know, kind of to the community. At the moment, it's very much been a working environment, although we have had a study environment, and that has been successful in itself. Nice. We've delivered in our shed some work study, which has been delivered by Tracy, my support worker. I think there's a teacher in the making there. Nice. And that's actually encouraged some of our guys to complete an advice, information and guidance in distance learning.
We mentioned some of the things there. You're also doing some fundraising at the end of the month, at the end of November.
We are, yes.
At Tesco.
Yes.
And you have the tokens at the moment in Asda as well.
We do. You know, if anyone wants to kind of use their token and put it into Cultivate Life Life box, that would be very much appreciated, because I think that's till the end of this month.
Right.
We are very proactive. You know, we want to, show the community, you know, even at this very tense time, you know, we haven't sat back and think, right, then we're throwing the towel and that's it. You know, I, as many people who know me, I don't give up very easily. Although, you know, I try to keep smiling, even though deep down it is hurting. There's no question about that. You know, it is a very agonising time. But believe, as with all my team, you know, I'm not singling myself out here. We believe in what we do, and we're passionate about what we do, and we just want to support, you know, our community, and feel that it does have a part to play.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're interested in what Julia said there about Cultivate for Life, you can find out more on their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/cultivate4life, and we'll put some details on our website as well. We'll put up a link to the local giving as well, which is also on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
So, if you want to just give your number for anyone that's interested in the project or wants to get in touch with you about that.
Yes, my contact number is 0747 201 2121. Alternatively, you can email me on, this is a very lengthy email, by the way, so you've got to bear with me. So it's 4 clocks, which is in the word 4, and then it's cultivate for life with a figure 4 at btconnect.com. What I'd like to do is, well, obviously from the donations, just like to mention a few people who have kindly given their support. Through business support, we've got Sam's Airs Cafe, we've got Legs Florist, Jean Wamwell from Trimmers, Time for Your Tea Room, Lifestyle Printing, Custom Design, and the Rotary Club. And I have to say thank you to my individual supporters as well, my sponsors. Equally, I've approached councillors Joy Allen, John Lethbridge, and June Lee have pledge their support, just waiting for confirmation of approval of that funding opportunity. If we can get through this difficult time, we want to enhance our support, and we can't do this on our own. I think that in any charity, I think you've got to work very much together, you know, to kind of lean on people who have got the expertise that, you know, you haven't got. You know, we can't be good at everything. I mean, probably wish we could, but we can't. So the next step for us is a few. We don't want to rely heavily on funding applications. You know, it's a very anxious time. You know, I wish that the funding was a little bit different in the system. They came to see us thinking, yes, you fit our criteria, and then the formality was an application. But the reality is, it doesn't work that way.
It's a long process, isn't it?
It is, and it's a very tense time, especially at the end of it. By the way, sorry, but you failed again. You're even to the effect that, you know, application was written poorly. I really want to hear that when I spent all that time. However, so this horticultural establishment, who is very highly credible, has taken interest in our project. So they are actually at the moment looking to do tenders to facilitate the training, accredited training on our site.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, it's looking at social enterprising as well as another area. But going back to the accredited training, we do realise Hoffel is the closest around here, and it's a fantastic organisation. But for some, it is, it's a very large scale environment, and for some, it would be very overwhelming. Equally, we do have the rural, you know, beyond Bishop Auckland, you've got Tower Law, you've got Barnard Castle, etc. And so that transport would be cause a problem. So by having something, accredited training in this area, is going to be very unique. It's going to enhance the support that we can give to Bishop Auckland and local areas too. It's providing a more holistic way, so working in smaller numbers. It might be that they're not going to be a garden at the end of the day, but what it proves to, I think, for potential employers or someone, you know, they're going on to further education, they have started and completed something, built up their confidence. You know, you're talking about, you know, working with young people and adults, so the dynamics are balanced. You know, I think that maybe these places, when you've got very, you know, young people, you know, of all the same age, dynamics can be very difficult. So I think it works on that scale. The social enterprise is another important factor, because going back to, we don't want to rely heavily on funding applications, and we want to show, I think, with when you apply for funding, if you're seeing that you're being proactive, you know, that you actually match funding seems to work very more in your favour, we want to show that we are doing our best, and, you know, putting in the element of fundraising. I think that marketing, the people, you know, can, you know, see your logo and know that you're being proactive, I think that works favourably as well. Yeah. But just please, please, just help us through this difficult time. That's all we ask for.